when we consult our longings. And they're different every year. And you could just pick it up in the congregational prayer this morning. Don't you just long for those fires in Southern California to be beaten? Surely those people do. That has to be their number one longing. And we enter into that. But your longings and my longings are different today than they may have been last year. And sometimes they're just very, very practical. How long must I drive this old car? How long before my daughter apologizes to me for what she did? You know? How long before I get to graduate from high school? Maybe you're a senior. You got senioritis. A little early for senioritis. It's only December, but you got it. I mean, our longings are different every year. Maybe you've had a real loss in your life. And you, this year, you're asking, how long will it be before I ever feel happy again? I'm just so sad because of what has happened. It can be anything, but every year it's a little different. And so the two words that we ask during Advent are, how long? How long do we have to live in a world where women aren't safe from sexual abuse? How long? And sometimes I think that when Jesus comes back, he's going to come with a shout. And I've often wondered, what is he going to shout? And sometimes I suspect he's going to shout one word, enough. This longing is something that we need to welcome. Or we get too complacent in our comfortable lives. We're not home, brothers and sisters. We're not home yet. And if we're not longing for anything, we're too much at home. Longing is such a healthy thing. Not all of our longings are right. If you're longing for a Lamborghini, you're not in the right place. But some of them are. Some of us are old enough to have been disillusioned often enough and disappointed often enough to have deepened those longings. We're longing for home. We're longing for a world where everybody knows your name. And everybody is a friend. And nobody walks out on anybody. We're longing. You know, in the Psalms, there are at least 15 Psalms that ask, how long, O Lord, how long? That's 10%. So Advent is a time when we ask, how long? And I might begin then this morning by asking you to consult your heart. Where are you asking how long? If you're a believer, then this means that you are waiting for Jesus to meet that longing, either now or patiently until his perfect time. But you are practicing expectant waiting. Waiting. So I would ask a couple questions right at the start here. Is there a place in your life where you wish God would act, and where might that be? And second, may I invite you, even challenge you, to expectantly wait for God to come into that very area of your life and simply count on him to do what he chooses to do. Now that may be a dark area. It could be an area of defeat. It could be an area of discouragement. It could be an area that you are a disappointment to yourself. It's a dark area. But you heard the reading this morning, the Advent reading. I thought it was so, I didn't know they were going to read, that Doug and Wendy were going to read that this morning. But what they read is this: the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. This can happen, brothers and sisters. Even in our darkest places, a light can dawn. There are, us Christians say, that this is the tunnel that has a light at the end. There are some tunnels that don't. This one does. So that's just to get things started this morning. So now what we're going to do is we're going to address one of those times that God spoke to a longing. And before we do, I want to mention that he used angels to do it. You have angels in your house? Are there any angels around? There's an angel. Anymore? There might be in some pictures here and there. A lot of people have angels in their houses these days. They tend to be rather tame, kind of soft, fluffy. They have wings that are lacy. Even that one, none of you are trembling. Are you in the presence of that angel there? May I introduce you to biblical angels? They come from the Pentagon. They are angels that are part of an army. They're archangels. And the one that is part of our story is Gabriel, who, when he was questioned at one point, told the person who was questioning him, "I stand in the presence of God. Don't you question me." Invariably, people were terrified when angels showed up. Angels are messengers. When you think of the fires in Southern California that cannot be stopped because they are so powerful, that's a picture of an angel. They are destructive. Angels are constructive. They're a constructive fire. They're a wind, and not just a gentle wind. They're a tornado. May I press upon us all once again to get our thinking about angels straight. They are mighty. They are awesome. A word overused, but not for angels. And they deserve to be listened to. They deserve to be listened to this morning. We're going to listen to Gabriel. So God announced the coming of his son into the world with angels. There are more angels in the Christmas story than in any other story in the Bible. There are other times where angels were used, like when the Ten Commandments were given. You thought Moses went up to the top of Sinai and got the Ten Commandments? That's partly true, but then you read the book of Hebrews and you discover that there were angels present. And then the writer to the Hebrews said, now if those Ten Commandments, which were delivered by angels, are ignored, how would you ever escape if you neglect the great salvation that came with the angelic presence at the birth of Christ? The Ten Commandments are not to be trifled with. They were delivered by angels. And now comes a message that is so mighty. It's greater than the law. This is a message of grace. And it came with angels. There are so many angels in this story. And their presence is meant to give credibility and authority to the message that we're about to hear. And one of them is Gabriel. So today, as your guest pastor, I'm inviting us to listen to this particular angel. If we're waiting for God to do something in our world or in our lives. So the title of this message is Empty. Listen to Gabriel. So we're going to read the scripture now. It's Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 36 to 38. And I understand it's your good habit to stand in the presence of the reading of God's Word. Luke 1, 26 to 38. In the sixth month of what? Sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be for me, may it be to me, as you have said." Then the angel left her. The very words of God. Thanks be to God. So, brothers and sisters, let's unpack this story. And there's an outline in your bulletin if you want to fill in the blanks. That's always so good because you just don't fall asleep so easily that way. So God, the angel, made four announcements to Mary. You say, "I thought there was just one." There's actually four. And we have to look at each one. The announcements are, God is for you, God is in you, God is upon you, and God is ahead of you. Those are the four announcements. We're going to take them one at a time. First of all, God is for you. And here's where we find it. "Greetings, you who are highly favored." And then later, "Mary, you have found favor with God." So before he told her anything, before he said one word about becoming the mother of God and how it would happen and how she could be sure of it, Gabriel said to her, "Mary, you have found favor with God. You are favored of the Lord." Now, listen to that. It's like he's saying, "Oh, God takes a very special delight in you. You have an honored place in his heart. He has singled you out to receive a very special blessing. He wants to do you a favor because he favors you." Now, this message comes to a young girl on a very ordinary day, going about her ordinary life. She's done nothing special to earn this or deserve this. So this came as a kind of shock to her. I imagine that she had never, ever thought of herself as singled out for any kind of special favor at all. So this was actually very troubling to her. It unsettled her a great deal. I don't want to demean this in any way, but it's like the message came across to her like, "This is your lucky day." We don't use that word lucky. It's bad. To me, it's a bad word, but maybe it communicates. Do you realize you are just that special? God has singled you out. You! Not someone else. You! And that was very troubling for her. It unsettled her. She began to ask herself, "Dear me, now what? What kind of greeting is this? What big surprise, what big news am I about to hear?" So her response was one of troubled wondering. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Now here you are at Hope in Christ Church on December 10, 2017. You're listening to this story. You're listening to a guest minister talk to you. This is no accident. God brought you here today, and he means these very same words for you. These words are true for you. Right now, you, today, you are highly favored. You might wonder how I could dare to say such a thing to you. Here's why. The same word was used by the same angels when Jesus was born. And this time it was used for everyone. Remember what they sang in the skies over Bethlehem? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Men, humans, people, born and unborn. That's us. That's all of us hearing this word today. You are the special object of his favor. You don't know how much you are treasured. One of the problems all of us have is that we feel a little bit marginalized. You know, I'm 75. What use is an old preacher, huh? Off to the side. Put him out to pasture. Old pastors go to pasture. That's a bad joke, but it's interesting how many of us feel somewhat on the margins. Well, you know, I've got acne. I won't be very popular in school. You're on the margin. I'm nothing special. I didn't make the basketball team. You're on the margin. I'm not Dutch. It's interesting to me how many folks actually feel that there's someone on the margin. What do you do for work? Then you say, and it's not, you're not a doctor or a dentist or a professional. Right away you feel like you're just sort of less. Friends, this is not true. You are highly favored. I don't care how little, how big, how fat, how slim, how rich, how poor, how sick, how healthy. You are highly favored of God. Oh, he treasures you so much. You've got to hear this. Of course, Mary is troubled. Because what does it mean that you are so favored? That's a scary thought. Because it means, like, is there some special responsibility? Is there some special duty? Is there some special task? I mean, why am I being singled out? That would be two years ago, right about now, Kay and I were finishing an interim in Montana. We were serving a church there, and a fellow Christian Reformed pastor invited us over for dinner, along with another couple. So we sat at this dinner table. They gave us a wonderful meal, and there was one lady there who talked a lot. She really was noisy, and we listened as respectfully as we could, and it was quite dynamic and very lively, but she did most of the talking. And we got to dessert, and our guest, Reverend Jerry Blum, all at once, in the middle of all this noise, he said, "Time out. I have something to say." It got real quiet. He looked at me. He said, "Ken, I have something I want to tell you." It got really quiet. And then he said, "You need to do more writing." And I said, "Oh, shucks." Because I knew he was right. It was such a weighty moment. It was like, you have a gift, young man, old man, and it's time you used it more. And I was troubled. I want to say that you are favored, that you are special, that the reason you're still alive, your heart is still beating, your lungs are still breathing, is because there is a purpose for your existence here, now, today, in Bellingham and Whatcom County. You're no accident. Your gifts are special. You are highly favored. Enough on that point, even though it is troubling. Well, let's move to the second announcement. This is Gabriel's second word. What might this mean, Mary asks. The second announcement can be summed up in just three words. God in you. God is going to show you that He is for you in this way. He's going to come in you in a very real, tangible, physical way. You are going to become pregnant, Mary. Another life, another whole person is going to take shape inside of you. And let me tell you about this person. There are three things I want you to know about this person. This child has a divine identity. He will be great and we will be called the Son of the Most High. So the person inside of you that you're going to be carrying around for 9 months is God in all of His greatness. The God who made the whales and the butterflies and the millions of dandelions and beans and geniuses and stars and the sun is going to come and live inside of you. This is a divine being. This is the living God. A divine identity. Secondly, this being who's going to come and live in you is going to be a being of great authority. His will be a lasting authority. He will have the final word on everything. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. This God person that will take shape inside of you is going to be a king. He will rule. He will control everything. He will hold absolute sway over every possible force that might come against him. Keep this in mind. Thirdly, this baby who's going to be born in you will have an eternal destiny. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. This God person who's going to take shape in you will rule forever. He will never be displaced. He will never be dethroned. He will never be impeached. He will never be overcome. He will never be dislodged. He will never be usurped. He will bring everything under His control forever. You know, this is the great hope of my friends in AA. The first step is for them to say, we admit that our lives have become unmanageable. The second step, we have turned over our lives to a higher power. Gabriel would say, that power will never disappoint you. That power will never be usurped by your habit. That power will set you free. You will never be able to kick him out. No matter how deeply you sin, he will never leave you. You cannot usurp him. Now, the biggest mistake we can make right now is to believe that this announcement was true for Mary alone. And friends, this is the heart of my message today. It was true for her, and it was true for her in a very unique way. She did become the physical mother of God. She did carry right within her, as no other woman in history has ever done, the very real physical embodied fetus of God. God was in her womb. And no other woman has ever had such an honor as that. But if that's all you see, if that's all you believe, when you hear this word from Gabriel, then you're missing something. Because this is what God is saying to you and to me today. You can become pregnant with me. Now, I want to tell you that this is something I only saw in this story about 10 years ago. Otherwise, I always preached it as the birth of the Savior who came and saved us from our sins so we can go to heaven. There's more here. I would like you to think about this as a picture of how God comes into a human heart and regenerates it and makes it pregnant with himself. So that what he is saying to you and me today is, I've chosen you as my very own temple. And I want to live in you by my Spirit. I would like you to become pregnant with me. I will invade your spirit, your inner spiritual womb. You have a womb with my whole self. I will come and live in you. I, the living God, all of me, has chosen you, a real human being, to have all of me living right in all of you. I will be your identity. I will be your authority. I will be your destiny. That's why St. Paul could tell the Galatians, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Doesn't that sound like what Gabriel's talking about? Isn't that why he told the Corinthians, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have received from God? The finest way that God could ever favor any of us is not just by surrounding us with blessings, kids, houses, jobs, friends, good health, money, and hobbies. And I love my hobbies because I grow peaches, and I defy everybody who says you can't grow peaches in Western Washington. I love hobbies. But the greatest gift that God can give us, ever show his favor to us, is this stupendous gift. Actually coming to live inside of us, turning us into God-possessed, God-managed, God-enlivened, God-empowered, God-directed, God-sustained, God-carried, God-embraced people. Amen? That's the greatest gift. That's how people come alive. That's how 75-year-olds are still alive. My goal is to live until I die. Friends, now let's get serious. Each of us has a womb. It's called our heart. And it's empty when we're born. It doesn't take too long to feel the emptiness. And so we grasp, we want. We steal toys from our little brothers and sisters. Then when we get older, the toys are just a little bit bigger, a little bit more expensive. So we go for a sailboat. Or we go for a motorhome. Or we go for a fancy house. And we put it in our womb. We get pregnant with it. We have sex with it. We have an intimate connection to it. We put our heart into it. Maybe it's the Seahawks. We put them in our womb. But after a while, this thing that I have come to call destination sickness happens. It doesn't satisfy us anymore. It pleases us. It doesn't satisfy. And then we get a kind of spiritual SIDS experience. Sudden infant death syndrome. The thing that we thought would be so special is just a disappointment. Marriage, that was going to be it. Yeah, now we've been married for 5 years. Wow, that is something. And it doesn't satisfy anymore. You know what Carl Jung said is the greatest neurosis of our time? Emptiness. We feel bored. We wonder, is this all there is? It's emptiness. And the angel listened to Gabriel. Listen to this angel. There is so much more. Can you imagine this for your life? Imagine that what I told Mary, that she could become a human carrying God within her. Imagine that could be true for you. What would that be like? God no longer distant, but near. God no longer your higher power, but your inner power. God no longer remote, but right here, right inside of you, inside your house, inside your office, inside your car, right here in your everyday living, loving, fighting, struggling, shopping, exercising, commuting, parenting, money-managing world. He's right here. This is the truth. God favors you so much. This is precisely what He intends for you. He does not want to feel that He does not want you to feel that He is distant. The whole heart of the incarnation is, I'm coming close. I'm coming in. I'm coming in. But I won't force my way in. In fact, in a sense, there's nothing you can do about it. And that brings us to the third point. Oh, first, Mary, of course, is very confused. Her response to this announcement, God in me, is baffled confusion. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? How will this be? Mary is a teenager, but she took the course at Linden Christian, you know, for sex education, and she knows that it takes two people to make a baby, and math just isn't there, you know. There are these physical laws that say how this must happen. These laws are not operating right now because she's not married. She never has been. So how could this ever happen? She is confused, and rightly so. But she's not confused like Zechariah. When Zechariah was told that he and his wife were going to have a baby in their old age and they had been barren all their life, he was not just confused, he wasn't even just skeptical. He was cynical. And I don't think so. No. And the way God deals with cynicism is He just lets us be real quiet for 9 months. We don't say a word. But this is different. In this case, Mary is just confused. And quite humbly, she asks, well, you know, how can this happen? How can this be? How does God come to live inside of somebody? Really? You're saying that I can become pregnant with God? Just how might that happen? And then comes the answer, the most wonderful announcement of the angel, the third announcement. And I realize I need to move on. It's 10:40 here. Not only, Mary, is God for you, not only, Mary, will God be in you, but now listen to this, Mary. God is going to come upon you. Would you believe that? The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. So Gabriel says to Mary, God Himself, in the person of the Holy Spirit, is going to come upon you, and He will make you pregnant. He will conceive this new life inside of you. He will brood over you. Now we're back to Genesis, and that was part of one of our songs earlier this morning. We're back to Genesis. That Spirit was brooding over all that blackness and darkness and emptiness. And when He was done brooding, we had 6 days of animals and stars and plants and creation everywhere. It was beautiful. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit broods over someone. The Holy Spirit will brood over you, Mary, and God will come to life in you. We know that same thing happened at the baptism of Jesus. The Holy Spirit came upon Him. Wow! He went out to the desert, didn't eat anything for 40 days, and overcame every temptation that came his way. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit broods over us. The Holy Spirit is the most powerful force for spiritual renewal in the world. It even beats yoga. There is no greater spiritual experience. There are people who got in their cars and drove all the way down to Central Oregon to see this total eclipse of the sun. Yeah, it's wonderful. And some people said it was a spiritual experience. Oh, okay. I hope you enjoyed it. You don't know what a spiritual experience is. Wait till the Holy Spirit broods over you. Mary, the Spirit is going to brood over you. The Father, the Most High, is going to overshadow you in all of His power. And through the Holy Spirit, He's going to pour the life of the eternal, unbegotten Son of God, the Creator of everything. He's going to pour that life right into you, little old you. That's what's going to happen. And a baby will be conceived. And there will be an egg that will divide. And it will become a zygote. And then an embryo. And then a fetus. And then an infant. And that'll be God. Just leaves us breathless. Just to imagine. If this were to happen to any one of us, all of our longings would suddenly be pretty well satisfied. Really. To have God living inside of us. But this is really how it can happen to. This is the only way it actually happens. You don't become a Christian. It's done to you. You don't choose. It's done to you. The Spirit of God just comes to you. He breaks in. He gets past all your defenses. And He changes your heart. It's a gift. And the only thing we can do, and that brings us to the fourth step, we only can concur. We can agree. We can accept. So that Mary's response was one of humble submission. I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. This is how people really become Christians. They submit. They say, okay, I need that life. I really need that life. I accept it. I believe you can do it to me. I accept it. That's how you become a Christian. You don't make yourself a Christian. You discover that you've been made one. And you just welcome it. You finally welcome it. This is what I've been looking for. So Mary submitted. But, you know, we all need help. Even when we believe, we need help to know if it's really true. I mean, I'm telling you something that is really staggering. Almighty God would like to come and live in you. Can this really happen? Can this really happen? Mary needed help. And here's where God is so humble. He is so humble. He says, Mary, you need help. I would like you to know I've gone ahead of you. And I have found a way to help you believe. And that's the fourth point. God is ahead of you. And so he says to her, well, Mary, this will help you. You know Elizabeth, your cousin? Yeah. Pretty old, isn't she? Oh, yeah. Never had any kids, did she? No. Would you believe she's pregnant? Really? Yeah. She's 6 months along. Really? Go check it out. Then the angel leaves. That's it. What does Mary do? She does not go to Costco to do any shopping. She moves. She hurries to the hill country of Judea. That's some distance away. She's in Nazareth. Hill country of Judea, that's kind of around Jerusalem. She heads down there. I don't know how she got there. But she hurries over there. Now, Elizabeth is a cousin, so you don't knock on the door. You kind of just walk in. That's what you do with relatives. You just sort of walk in. Yahoo! Anybody home? Elizabeth hears the sound, and then an amazing thing happens. Pregnant women do talk about this experience of quickening. The fetus does a somersault inside of her. That doesn't happen every day, but it can happen. Elizabeth, having sensed the power of God working in her own life, knows that that is special. She knows, she's been told that her baby is to prepare the way for the Messiah. And when that fetus does that somersault, she knows she's hearing the voice of the mother. And right away she says, "Why am I so favored that the mother of my God would come and visit me?" And then Mary knew. She was pregnant, but she also recognized the presence of God in Mary. Maybe you have a hard time believing, but God is ahead of you. And there are people in whom He is very much present. He will bring them into your world to help you believe. That's how He does it. Christianity is sort of caught. It's sort of a good infection. It's like catching the flu, you know, but that's a bad infection. Christianity is a good infection. We get infected from other people. We see it in them, and we say, yeah, there must be something to it. Just this week, I sat in my little backyard shed counseling a couple who are in their 60s, and their marriage is awful. They came and said, you know, we need help because all we ever do is bicker. It's all we ever do. Just bicker. So now I've had 6 sessions with them, and I'm not getting anywhere. We went through anger management. That didn't work. We went through conflict management. That didn't work. And I realized after a while, this is very deep-seated. It's very deep-seated. They came in on Tuesday, and they said, you know, Pastor Kyle preached about hope on Sunday, but the truth is neither of us have much hope anymore. I said, really? I can see why. We're not getting anywhere. I said to the wife, would you just go with Kay for a little while? Let me just talk to your husband alone. He and I talked for 20 minutes, and out came this story of hopelessness. You know, I'm not getting through to her. She doesn't understand me. She has no respect for me, on and on and on. I said, you have no hope? He said, I really don't. Well, we better bring her back in and announce it's hopeless, I guess. She came back in, and I said, really, no, we've got some issues here that are so deep. I don't know how this is going to change. And then, in a most kind of unexpected way, she said, well, when I was out, you were talking to my husband, I was thinking about this other couple in Sunlight who have such a wonderful marriage, but the woman is getting dementia. And I've been watching how the husband has been loving his wife, who forgets everything, but he just keeps loving her. I'm just so amazed. She has nothing much to give back to him. He just loves her. And you know, she said, I've just come under conviction that I have got to start to love my husband, period, like him. And she mentioned this person whom a lot of you know, for whom I have so much respect. It's like she got infected. She said, that's what I'm going to do. And he said, well, then I'll try to. I got a text from them a couple days later. First from the husband, I think there's some hope for us. And then from the wife, I think there's some hope for us. Not because of anything I did, but because they had noticed another couple. They had noticed the life coming out of them, and it gave them hope. How do you know? How do you know this really could happen to you? Do you know any Christians? Do they talk to you? Do you observe their example? Have you seen what they've done? That's the evidence that this is really true. Enough. 10:51. That's enough. I'm glad you put a clock up there. But this is the gift. Are we empty? We can be possessed with the very life of God. And all our longings will finally be satisfied. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this indescribable, immeasurable, immense gift that you have chosen us humans to be your temple, your womb in which you choose to live. We pray that this Christmas season, having examined our longings, that you would come and be born in us in fresh new ways. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are answered in thee tonight. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Now, Lord, I forget the rest of the song, but we're about to sing it anyway. And we pray that that would be true of us. In Jesus' name, amen.